Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 232 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I know you are, and I appreciate it. I'm up in Seattle, actually technically Bellevue, Washington, working a club called Parlor Live, which is a fantastic club, working with my buddy Mal Hall, super funny, young, up-and-coming comic. Well, he's a pro, but anyway, look him up, Mal Hall, M-A-L-H-A-L-L. I am recording on my MacBook Air. It's a few years old, and the new MacBook Air has come out, and as any regular listener knows, my technology is always challenged, so this one's starting to screw up. I hope I get this recorded, but, you know, it's an Apple thing. When something new comes out and you have something old, mysteriously, the old one craps out. I'm hoping one day I can find someone, a fan, a friend, a techie, someone who's good with Apple stuff, who could literally just come to my house and fix everything. I'm having problems with an iPhone, an iPod, the MacBook Air, whatever. And they just be like, I got it. And yeah, I'll pay. If you know someone, send them my way. Contact me through the website. Okay, enough of that. Enough of my problems. Let's look at real problems. The fires in LA, people have asked. I am what I call fire adjacent. It was one exit on the freeway away from my house being evacuated. That whole situation is devastating. You know, I've been near fires before, and if you haven't, I can only tell you that it is, it's like it's a living thing. You can hear it sucking the air, sucking the oxygen out of the air. You can feel the heat. It is just such a powerful force, and you realize that depending on the wind, you're either going to be there or gone. I mean, it is such an example of the power of nature. The firefighters who do their best with these things are unbelievable because it is a force. So kudos to the firefighters who have been out there for a week now, and, you know, my sympathies to the people, definitely the people who were killed in the Northern California fire, some in the Southern, but mostly in the Northern California, and also the people who lost their homes. You know, I was talking to a friend about it, and I told her, like, imagine everything you own, everything in your house, just gone. Like, here one day, gone the next. Imagine how devastating that is. Imagine how many things that you never think about that won't be able to be replaced. I even read stories of people who had fireproof safes that were melted because the heat from the fire was so intense. It's tragic all around, which is why Trump would say the wrong thing. You know, Trump, just horrible, talks about mismanagement and, oh, if they had raked the leaves under the trees. Just a fucking idiot. He's going to visit victims, people displaced, etc., by the fires, and you know, stay home. You don't say something like that. You don't insult the people from the Forestry Service whose budgets you've cut and decimated and stuff like that, or the firefighters who've been out there, who know fire science, who understand how and why fires burn. You don't insult all of them and then say, oh, I'm going to get a photo op with some of the victims. You know what? Fuck off. Keep your false sympathy to yourself. That's just my view. And the irony, because there's always irony when Trump's involved. Paradise, the city in Northern California, the town in Northern California that was vaporized by this fire. Yeah, happened to be a lot of Trump supporters up there. Way up in Northern California, there's a lot of Trump supporters. And this was one of those places. And no knock against these people. You can support whoever you want. You vote any way you want. It has nothing to do with a disaster hitting. Do you hear that, Billy Graham? It has nothing to do with a disaster hitting. And I'm not knocking the people for that. I'm just saying that he's callous toward his own supporters. Terrible. Now, here's the thing, and yeah, this is a thing, and I didn't even know about this. You know, the more you learn, the more you learn, you don't know. Did you hear that, Mr. Trump? The more you learn, the more you learn, you don't know. Did I say Mr. Trump? I did. Totally sarcastically. There were private firefighters. The Kardashian house happens to be in Calabasas, one of the places evacuated for the Southern California fires. And there were for hire professional private firefighters protecting their house. Now, this is one, listen, there's a lot of reasons to not like the Kardashians. This isn't one of them, because this is done by the insurance companies. I didn't notice. Insurance companies, AIG and Chubb, have talked about having private wildfire teams. AIG has its own wildfire protection unit. Some contract with a company called Wildfire Defense Systems to protect these homes. What they do is, if you have a high-value home, the insurance company wants to protect it so they don't have to pay to rebuild it, et cetera, et cetera. What's interesting about this is historic. It started in London in the 18th and 19th century. Insurance companies worked with firefighters, and they would, each insurance company had its own firefighters, and they would protect homes that they insured. They might protect homes that were nearby or adjacent, but then they would bill you for it. The United States started a program of volunteer fire departments and then realized that, like, firefighting is something for the public good. No, Republicans, public good does not mean socialism. It means the public good. They realized everyone deserved to be protected in a fire, whether they were rich or poor, if you had a home or rented, whatever, you deserve it. So cities in the United States would provide fire protection, and that's what we're used to, right? You have a fire department everywhere. Well, they're going back, and see, it's a shame. We're going backwards again. The rich will be treated different. So now, and I did not know about this, and I don't know, I get it, but I think it's fucked up. I get it, but I think it's fucked up. But if you're rich and you have insurance with these companies, you will get a private fire department to protect your home in the case of, I guess, a wildfire or other disaster. So once again, the 1% is living better than you, which means Southern and Midwestern Republicans will vote for them. Speaking of voting, well, is anyone surprised that Brian Kemp is now the governor of Georgia? I mean, there was all kind of shenanigans in this election, right? We had the voting machines that weren't plugged in. You had the places in DeKalb County, which just happened to be Democratic. These things, now listen, these things happen in Democratic counties, but Kemp agreed to investigate himself and decided that he didn't do anything wrong, nor did the Republican Party. There were these places that, you know, that didn't, you had to wait hours to vote. There were votes that weren't counted, blah, 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 okay? Somebody told me they hate me saying blah, blah, blah on my podcast, but what am I going to do, go through every instance of them cheating in voting, go through every instance of them disenfranchising people because they had voted for Barack Obama in a prior election because they were Democrats? You know the stories. You read about it. Or should, if you don't, you should. But anyway, Kemp has been certified, and there are still some other recounts going. Trump figured out how the Democrats are cheating. I mean, you know, besides all the illegal voters that were heading up here in the caravan of immigrants that, oddly, we haven't heard a word about since Election Day. We just had to scare you toward Election Day. Now the caravan's disappeared. But anyway, Trump says what it was people changed clothes and voted again. Yeah, he's on to us. See, I went in the morning and I voted as Alonzo Bowden in a blue shirt. And then I went back in the afternoon and voted as Alonzo Bowden in a white shirt. No, I didn't change my name. No, I didn't change my address. I used the same voter registration, but I wore a different shirt and they gave me an extra ballot and it fooled them. His level of stupid is fascinating, utterly fascinating. So there are other recounts going on. In some cases, in Arizona, in Orange County, there are some cases in the recount, the Democrats winning, which is why they want to stop all the recounts. But, you know, we knew what was going to happen in Georgia, and I strongly suspect it'll be the same in Florida. And, you know, it is what it is. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. So Let's move on to more same old, same old. Jamel Robinson is a security guard who's in Chicago, detaining a suspect, had his knee in the suspect's back, had a gun that he was licensed to carry because he was a security guard, had a hat on that said security, had people around him yelling to the cops who showed up on the scene, he's security, he's security, he's security, and the cop killed him because he was a black man with a gun, which supersedes any, you know, security or license to carry or anything else. He was a black man with a gun, so you better shoot him. And it happened once again. And you know, the police department's already saying, we didn't have any way of knowing that he was security. He had his knee. And now imagine you roll up on a scene, guy's on the ground, another guy has his knee in his back, the guy's wearing a black shirt and black pants and a hat that says security. People are yelling, he's security. You gonna ask questions? Nah, just kill him. Just kill him. It's horrible. It's horrific. And sadly, it's our normal. This guy, Jamel Robinson, 29 years old, had a son 9 months ago. Won't see his son's first Christmas. Yeah, that's okay. You know, Black Lives Matter. No, they say no. That's just some anti-football shit, right? Yeah. While we're on the topic of, you know, good guy with a gun, right? Because I hate that bullshit. In Georgia, another two-year-old, and this was amazing because I read the story and then I didn't save the story, so I looked it up again. So I just Googled two-year-old shoot self and a whole list came up. This isn't the first or last time it happened. But in Georgia, a two-year-old got his father's gun. His father was taking a nap, loaded gun under the pillow. Two-year-old got the gun, shot and killed himself. Again. And the NRA is outraged that they no longer have free coffee at NRA headquarters. That's right. That's where the outrage is, because the NRA isn't making as much money as it used to because they don't have Barack Obama to scare people with. He's coming to get your guns. Give us money. Yeah, all of that's gone now. So they're not raising as much money through their fear campaigns. And some people are woke. Some people are woke now and on to the NRA, and they're not going to be part of this bullshit that the NRA sells. And the NRA raised their dude. They don't have enough money for free coffee. But they do have enough money to ensure that every two-year-old in America has the right to accidentally get a gun and kill himself. Yeah, making America great again, one killing at a time. How stupid is that? How sad for our country that is the norm? And I know people, no, it's not. Yeah, it is. You're not shocked. Nobody who hears this is shocked to hear that a two-year-old accidentally shot himself, particularly in a red state, with ridiculously easy gun laws, et cetera, et cetera. All right, enough guns. I want all bad news. Can't just talk about guns. Let's talk about sex. Specifically, let's talk about sexual assault, something that the Republicans in the right wing just seem a little too comfortable with sexual assault. Am I the only one who thinks that? There's something about it that there's a sense of outrage, considering you claim to be the religious party and blah, party of Jesus, and you judge everyone on religion. Just a little too comfortable with sexual assault. And the funniest thing is the women, the Republican women, are comfortable with sexual assault. Betsy DeVos, okay, who, yeah, yeah. The education secretary has changes to campus sexual misconduct rules to make it easier for the accused. Because, you know, that's the victim, the one accused of sexual assault. And she's like, you know, it's bad that they get accused and they get in trouble, so let's make it easier on them. So she's got some new rules, including, of course, you had to change it from the Obama administration, right? Because that was evil. So there's a tighter definition of sexual misconduct. Yeah, did you wave it at her intentionally, or were you just clowning around? Reduced responsibility for colleges to investigate. Oh, we ain't seen nothing. He, shh, He's Division I ball player. We ain't seen nothing. And the right for advisors to cross-examine those, to cross-examine those involved. Now, what this does is this makes it really easy for rich guys to get away with sexual assault because they can bring in a third party, like a lawyer, to cross-examine the, normally it's going to be a woman accusing a guy of sexual assault. So now they can bring in someone to cross-examine the woman. What it means is we're going to go back to what was she wearing? She was asking for it. That's what we're headed back. Notice how we keep heading backwards on things. They talk about it being clear and fair. Yeah, just like Fox News is fair and balanced. Look, we're going backwards. But so many women support this that I don't even know. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at the number of white women who voted for Republicans, if you look at the number, and yeah, it was white women who voted for these Republican guys who are anti-equal pay or like these new regulations which go backwards on sexual harassment, et cetera, et cetera. If these women are voting for it, then how are you going to change it? How are you going to change it? So there's that. And on this topic, and this is I love this story, and I wish these women the best. Now, I'm going to go on record saying I find sports bras sexy. They are. There's a whole world, it's called athleisure wear, and it's sports bras and yoga pants and stuff like that, and it is sexy, and a lot of women wear them because they're sexy, and that's okay. But they are sports bras, and they are worn by athletes, and they're worn by athletes when they're training, et cetera, et cetera. So here's the deal. The women's cross-country team at a school called Rowan University were running 5.5 mile repeats on the track, which I'm guessing means you got to run a 5.5 minute mile repeated. They were training. They're the women's cross-country track team. They were training. It's hot outside. Some of them took off their shirts and ran in their sports bras, trained in their sports bras, because that's what it's for. That's what they're doing, okay? Now, the football coach and the football team complains to the university saying that these women are distracting the football players. See, it's, you know how these fields are set up. The track surrounds the football field. So it's the women's fault, right? They're asking for it. They're distracting my players. My players might even get a little rapey. Just in a frenzy. The women are training. What the university does is they come out with these rules that the women have to wear shirts when they practice, and they have to move their practices to the high school track across the street so their presence wouldn't upset football practice. Now, the interesting thing about that is there are practice fields for football, but the football players aren't using them. They're practicing on the playing field. Now these women have to move across the street and put on T-shirts. So some of the women who had were in the program, there was a woman who had, Gina Capone, who graduated from the school, who she ran on the team in 2017. She's still friends with the team. She posted a picture of herself in her shorts, in her sports bra, saying that you know, this is wrong and that she was speaking out. And they talked about how hard they train. And they said if the football players trained as hard as they're training, you wouldn't have time to be distracted because you'd be sweaty and tired and hot. You know, that's how it works. But so far, the school hasn't changed the rule. There have been over 200,000 retweets and likes, etc., on social media. They're backing these women up, and hopefully these rules change. This is like the schools that have the dress code where women can't wear tank tops because it just drives the men into a frenzy. Years ago, I read this, and it stayed with me because it made so much sense. Rather than teach women how to dress, why don't we teach men to not rape? Yeah, I gave you a minute for that to sink in. Rather than teach women how to dress, why don't we teach men to not rape? Why is it a woman? Now, the male athletes can take off their shirt at any time. At this school, at any school, male athletes can take off their shirts. The women, they're not naked, they're not topless, they're wearing a sports bra. Again, I'll admit, there are times when it's very sexy to see a woman in a sports bra, and I'm guilty of that. I'm not going to grab her, I'm not going to touch her, I'm not going to be so distracted staring at her that I can't do what I'm doing. But if you've been in the gym, you've seen it. You've seen hard body women in sports bras and yoga pants. Yeah, it looks sexy. And a lot, I know women who like that, who like the fact that, yeah, I look hot when I work out. I like that. And that's okay. It's all okay. But there's a line. There's a line. There's a difference between a glance and a stare. There's a difference between looking and touching. And there's certainly a difference, Miss DeVos, of sexual assault. Unfucking believable. And yet, not. Education. We're talking about schools. Let's talk about education. Texas, which we love. We know about Texas schools and how Texas drives the school books. I've talked about this before. Well, Texas is moving forward, ladies and gentlemen. Texas students, now not right away, going to give it another year, 2019 to 2020 school year. Texas students are going to be taught that slavery played a central role in the Civil War. Who knew that slavery was involved in the Civil War? Well, Texas students didn't, because they taught them that the Civil War is about sectionalism and states' rights, and well, slavery was down at the bottom, yeah, of the three. But now they're going to move it up. Slavery apparently is going to be a central cause of the Civil War, you know, because it was states' rights to slavery. Good. What else can I say? Good. Don't let Kanye down there. Don't let Let's Repeal the 13th Amendment Kanye down there. Okay, because he'd be like, no, it wasn't bad. It was the war and northern aggression or some dumb shit. So welcome aboard, Texas. They've decided that they're going to keep Helen Keller in the curriculum. They've decided it's okay to mention Hillary Clinton. And slavery was a central cause of the Civil War. So there you go. Texas in 2019 is joining the world. last month, I did a show on Dr. Phil, an episode of Dr. Phil. It was about white privilege and what white privilege is. And it's not about all white people are racist or anything like that. It's privilege. And four women in a mall in Memphis, Tennessee, tried to show what white privilege is. They wore hoodies. There's a mall in Tennessee, and there were some black kids in the mall, and they had hoodies on. And, of course, security jammed them up, said no hoodies are allowed in the mall, you can't see your faces, and went to throw them out. And then a guy was videoing the security people hassling the kids. So, of course, they detained him, you know, because this is a no hoodie mall and blah, 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 blah. So these four women decided they were going to wear their hoodies to the mall. Four white women, okay? They wore their hoodies to this mall, and nothing happened. I say again, nothing happened. Wolf Chase Mall in Memphis, Tennessee. The mall said more mall security personnel respectfully ask all customers concealing their identity to conform to policy. Police are called only if a customer refuses or becomes belligerent. So these four women just went down there. They wore their hoodies about the no hoodie policy. They would walk around with their hoods up. They said a security guard politely asked them to take their hoods down, and they did, and then they walked on, and they put their heads back up. That was it. They wore their hoods, they went shopping, they did, and they wanted to show that because they were white women, they were allowed to wear hoodies, and yeah, it's called white privilege. Thank you, ladies, for exposing it. I put this on my Facebook page. Of course, there were some trolls like, well, what does that prove? What does that mean? Hey, listen, when you can deny reality, there's no proof of anything, okay? We got nothing. But kudos to these women for doing that. And finally, I'm going to wrap up the podcast. Rest in peace, Stan Lee. Stan Lee was the creator of so many comics at Marvel, Spider-Man, the Hulk, Fantastic Four, Thor, the Avengers, on and on and on. Stan Lee shaped a portion of our culture. And Stan Lee was great because Stan Lee made comics real. Spider-Man was in New York, not some mythical city. He was in New York, and he dealt with there was diversity in Marvel Comics. There were black superheroes in Marvel Comics. There was a Black Panther. There was a Luke Cage. There were women, super powerful women that mattered. Women in the Fantastic Four, women in the Avengers, etc., etc. You've seen it. And Stan Lee did that intentionally. Stan Lee hated racism, and he said racism was a corrosive fabric of our society, and he battled it using comic books. Stan Lee I grew up with Marvel Comics. I was what we called a true believer back in the 70s. If you were a Marvel guy, you'd be a true believer. Stan Lee, I was a true believer. I thank you for everything you created. I thank you for the world you created. I thank you for the escape you gave us. I thank you for showing us heroes in our higher good, even when they were flawed. He did so much. You know, Bill Maher talked some shit about him, and all it did was show what an asshole Bill Maher can be. Stan Lee was a great man. I read a sad story about his money and people taken from it, taking advantage of it as he became an old man and less aware. The man lived 95 years. And you know something? A lot of good people die young. You know, Steve Jobs, Paul Allen, Prince, Michael Jackson, and the list goes on and on. You know what? It's good to see that a good man led a good long life and got to see his comic books created in the 60s become worldwide blockbuster hit movies in the 90s and 2000s. So thank you, Stan Lee. You were a good man, and you led a good life, and I hope you got to enjoy it and everything you did. To those listening, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's coming up next week. I will be at the Arlington Draft House Friday and Saturday after Thanksgiving. December 3rd, I am taping my next comedy special at the Alex Theater in Glendale. If you're anywhere in Southern California, just go to my Facebook page. There's a link to tickets. Tickets are free. Let's fill the audience. Tell somebody about it. December 3rd, it's a Monday night. Two shows, 7 and 9 o'clock. I'm taping the new special. It's going to be great. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Shout out to my man Brian, security here at Parta Live, who's a listener of the podcast. Thank you all. Have a great day.